Todd'sville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I've entitled the message for this morning, Who Believes? Now there are only two kinds of people in this world, those who believe and those who do not believe. I am either a believer or I am an unbeliever. Now the question I want to ask is, who believes? I'm going to read verse 48 out of Acts chapter 13. This is Luke's comment, his editorial comment, as it were, about this message that Paul preached in Antioch. At the end of this message, we read in verse 48, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord." They loved what they heard. They were glad and they gave glory to God for this word. And then Luke makes this statement, "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Now, before we can really consider who believes, we've got to ask this question: what does it mean to believe? And we've got to ask the next question: what is it that is believed when someone believes? Now, like I said, you and I, all men, are divided into these two classes. We either believe or we do not believe. Somebody says, "Well, I'm agnostic. I don't know." Well, if you're agnostic, you do not believe. You either believe or you do not believe. Christians are called in the New Testament believers. Now, what does it mean to believe? The reason I ask that question is I have no doubt that there are some who think they believe, but they don't really believe. And I think you'll understand that as I try to speak on this subject. What does it mean to believe? Well, it's more than believing the truthfulness of a proposition. Now, as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm behind a pulpit. This pulpit is made of solid oak. I believe that. It's not made of fiberglass. It's not made of plastic. It's not made of particle board. It's made of solid oak. I believe that. Now, does that constitute faith as in believing the gospel? No. I believe 2 plus 2 is 4. I am convinced 2 plus 2 is 4. I'm persuaded of it. I believe it. But is that what is meant in the Bible by believing? No, it's not. It's the same faith that James warned us about when he said, "You believe that there's one God. You do well." The devils believe. They're totally convinced of that. They know there is only one God. They believe and they tremble, but there is no saving faith in that belief. It's a belief. It's the belief of a proposition. It's giving acknowledgement to the truthfulness of something, but it is not saving faith. James said in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead, being alone. Now, what he's talking about is not good works that prove to you that you have faith. That's the way most people look at that passage of Scripture. Well, you need to have good works along with your faith to prove the reality of your faith. Now, I'm all for good works. I want to be rich in good works, but that is not what that passage of Scripture is saying. When he uses the example of Abraham, Abraham offered up his only son. Now, what is it that proved he really believed God? When he rose up to slay his son because he knew that God would raise his son from the dead, because God promised that the Messiah would come through his seed. And what proved he really did believe God was that he was willing to offer him up. And as a matter of fact, he did it in his own heart. It was a done deal. It's something that he did because he believed, because God said the Messiah is going to come through your son. He believed that God would raise that boy from the dead after he killed him because he believed what God said. Now, if he would have refused to offer him up, if he would have said, now I can't do this because that'll mess up God's promise. God won't be able to make his seed come through this boy if I do this, so therefore I won't do it. All he would do by doing that is prove that he didn't really believe God. You see, if you believe God, you believe he will do what he said he would do. Even if somebody has to die and be raised from the dead, it's going to happen. Faith without works is dead. Here's another illustration. Lot. Now, if you look at the life of Lot, it's not very commendable, is it? He chose the well-watered plain, didn't give deference to Abraham, moved to Sodom, stayed in Sodom when he shouldn't. It was a wicked place. He even became a government official in Sodom at the gate. You think of him offering up his two daughters to try to save the angels that you read about in Genesis chapter 19. He lingered in Sodom. And when the Lord said, leave, he lingered, and the angels had to take him by the hand and pull him out. When he goes into that cave, he has an incestuous relationship with both of his daughters and has children from both of his daughters. He became drunk. Just go on down the line. You don't see much about Lot's life that you would find commendable. But there were works that proved he really believed. Now, he really did believe because God calls him in Peter, just Lot, that righteous man and his righteous soul and so on. He did believe. Well, what proved he believed? Lot didn't look back. You remember how the angel said, don't look back? His wife did, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot did not look back. Now, what that is a reference to is not just looking back in curiosity to see what the fire and brimstone looks like and what it did to Sodom. This looking back represents looking back to your works, looking back to something you do as a ground of your acceptance. Not faith in Christ, but faith in yourself. Looking back, Lot didn't do that. And whenever there is true saving faith, I think of what the Lord said to the churches in Revelation. The first thing he said is, I know thy works. I know thy works. With every believer, there will be work that proves the reality of their faith, like there was with Lot. A believer truly looks to Christ only. He will not look anywhere else. Faith alone is always alone, but it's never alone. There is work that proves the reality of the faith. It's not just the acceptance of a proposition. It's not just believing the truthfulness of a proposition. Oh, it goes much further than that. Now, if somebody asked me, what is the scripture you would select that demonstrates what true faith is, I would go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Now, this is Paul the Apostle speaking, and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause, this is talking about his preaching, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Now, Paul knew that wherever he preached, he would be persecuted. He would be whipped with a cat of nine tails. He would be stoned. He would be thrown into prison. He said, the Holy Spirit has told me that bonds and afflictions abide me. Everywhere he went, he knew he was going to be in trouble for the message he preached. But what does he say? For the which cause, my preaching, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. And here's why. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. And notice the wording, it's so important. I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, no, I know what I believe. Somebody says, I know what I believe. Well, good, but do you know whom you have believed? You see, what I believe is determined by who I believe. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. I have been persuaded. You see, the Lord persuaded him. This is why his faith was so strong. He'd been persuaded by the Lord. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able. Here's what I'm relying on. This is who I'm relying on. His ability. Oh, I'm relying on his ability. I'm not relying on anything about myself. I am relying on his ability to save me. I really believe that he is able to save me without me making any contributions at all to cause my salvation. I believe he is able to do it all. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You see, I believe he is able to make me perfect. I believe he is able to make my sins not to be. I believe he is able to make me stand before God in judgment without sin. And he did all this by himself. Now, that's what faith is. It's believing his ability. Paul said, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Now, without this committal, there is not saving faith. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say you're in a burning building, fifth floor. The building's on fire. Down below, there's some firemen with a net. And they say, jump, we'll catch you. Now, you may believe that they're able to catch you. But what good would that belief do if you didn't jump? What if you stayed in the building that was on fire? You would be killed. You would be burned. Now, if you jump, you know that you'll be dashed to pieces and die if they don't catch you. Your safety is all in accordance to their ability. So when you jump out that window, you're committing your life into their hands. It's up to them as to whether or not you'll live. It's not up to you. It's not your act of jumping that saves you. As a matter of fact, your act of jumping would kill you if they don't catch you. You're completely dependent upon them. Now, when I commit my salvation to Christ, I say I am totally dependent on who He is and what He did to save me. My only hope is that when He said it is finished, it was finished. My salvation was finished. And I am good to go, that I stand before God accepted simply and wholly because of what He did. I'm committing my salvation to Him. I'm not looking to myself. I'm not looking to my works. Now listen to me. If my salvation is dependent upon my ability to believe, if my salvation is dependent upon my ability to repent, if my salvation is dependent upon my personal holy living, if my salvation is dependent upon me being able to stop committing some particular sin, I have no hope. I have committed my salvation to Him. If He didn't do it all, I won't be saved. But I know He is all in salvation. Now that's the act of believing. It's, I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Committal, 100% reliance on Him being all in my salvation. Anything short of that is not believing. You see, a failure to commit means you believe in salvation by works in some way. You're holding on to something. You're looking to something you're going to do. That's what that failure to commit is. Oh, the believer commits the entire salvation of their soul to Him. Now, when one does believe, what is believed? What is the content of that faith? Well, once again, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Not what, but whom. You see, what you believe is completely determined by who you believe. For instance, Jesus Christ, I know Him. You know who He is? He's God. You know what that means? That means He's all-powerful. That means He's sovereign. That means He's in complete control. That means He's holy. That means He cannot fail. Now, many people believe in a Christ that can fail. He can die for somebody and they wind up in hell anyway. Well, that's the wrong Christ. I know whom I have believed. He's the one who's incapable of failure. He's the God-man. I know whom I have believed. Abraham believed God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Every believer believes in the isness of God, who He is, as He's revealed in His Word, as He's revealed in the Gospel. Now, in the context of Acts chapter 13, it says after, here was the summary of Paul's message, he says in verse 38, and this is the message they believed and rejoiced in. He says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe, there's that word believe, by him, all that believe, if you believe, it's because he gave you the grace to do it, it's by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, this is so important in this thing of faith. To him that worketh not. And do you hear that? I need to work. Scripture says to him that worketh not. Do you know what it means to work not? To know that there's nothing you can do to gain God's favor or recommend yourself to God. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, this is a big word in the Bible, justification. Now, if a judge on earth declares somebody justified, that means they were not guilty. That means they did not commit the crime. It doesn't mean they're forgiven. It means they're not guilty. Now, if I'm justified, I am not guilty. I stand before God sinless. I stand before God without fault. I stand before God perfect. Now, how can that be? Because I know I'm a sinner. I'm not saying I used to be a sinner. I am a sinner. That's just the truth. And you are too, whether you know it or not. I hope you know it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a blessed thing to be a sinner. But how is it that a sinner can actually stand before God without guilt? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to that. You see, my sin became his sin. He became guilty of that sin. He never sinned in his person. Even when he was made sin, he never personally sinned. But he took my sins and owned them as his own. He became guilty before God. That's why the Father poured his wrath upon him. He stood as the sin-bearing substitute. He put away that sin. He satisfied God's law and justice and wrath against sin. That's why he was raised from the dead. The sin was put away. God was satisfied. And that perfect obedience that he worked out, that perfect righteousness, is given to every believer as their own. Just as truly as my sin became his righteousness becomes mine. So I stand before God righteous. That's what justification means. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, what you think of Christ is what faith is. That's the content of saving faith. Not what you think about yourself, but what you think of Christ. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I believe he's the Word of God. I believe he's God's prophet. I believe he is the prophetic word. I believe he's God's priest. Not like some human priest, but he's the priest who comes into the very presence of God with his own blood. Not the blood of an animal sacrifice, but his own blood that puts away sin. And he comes in, everybody he represents must be saved. I believe he's God's king. He really is king. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. His will is always done. 1 John 5:5 says, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Acts 15:11, "We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they." Romans 10:4 says, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth," Romans 10:9, "if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," he's Lord. That means he controls everybody and everything. He's Jesus, the Savior. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 1 John 3:23 says, "This is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son." Now, that's not just talking about knowing what his name is. His name is his attributes. The person behind the name. We're relying on his name to save us. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can read about that in Numbers 21 when the snakes bit the children of Israel. Moses went to the camp with the brazen serpent, and anybody that just looked at that serpent, not that worked, but looked, lived. Now, faith has nothing to do with what you think about yourself, except this: do you believe yourself to be a sinner? Do you believe yourself to be a sinner. Somebody says, I'm not a sinner. Well, Christ didn't come to save you then. He only came to save sinners. Now, the third question, who believes? You're either a believer or an unbeliever. Who believes? Faith is reliance on Him. Committal to Him is everything in salvation. You believe on Him. Who believes? Well, Luke tells us, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as were elected by God before the foundation of the world. As many as were predestinated by God to be conformed to the image of His Son. Those are the people who believed. Those who were ordained eternally by God to believe. You see, this thing of faith is not the product of human nature. If you believe, it's because God gave you that faith. And He gave you that faith because you belong to Christ. And Christ put away your sins. And Christ made you stand perfect before Him. Listen to this scripture. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Who believed? You know, this is what gives any true preacher hope in preaching. It's not up to me to talk you into believing. I can't do that. And if somebody can talk you into something, somebody else can talk you out of it. That's not what this is about. This is proclaiming the gospel, and I know somebody's going to believe. Everybody who was ordained to eternal life will believe. And you know, if you have faith, you know that's so. You know that faith didn't come from you. It's not the product of your decision. You know it's the gift of God. There was a time when you didn't believe, and then you found yourself believing, and you know that it is the work of God. Who believed? As many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.